Welcome to Sleep with Rockstars, the Gen X Sleep Podcast, because you deserve a good night's sleep, or whatever. I'm Sloane Spencer. In each Sleep with Rockstars Sleep Podcast, I will read from Wikipedia about your favorite Gen X musicians and bands. If this podcast helps you relax and fall asleep, please leave a 5-star rating and a kind review in your favorite podcast app. You may find that the more you listen, the more your mind will begin to associate these stories with sleep. So feel free to return to each episode again and again. Repetition can help create a signal to your brain that it's time to rest. And if the musical act isn't your favorite, that's perfectly okay. You don't need to pay close attention. Instead, let the words wash over you. Let their rhythm and softness lull you, not for interest, but for sleep. You're not here to be entertained. You're here to let go. Now let your breath guide you deeper into stillness. Take a moment to settle in. Gently close your eyes and let your body begin to rest. There's nowhere you need to be, nothing you need to do. This is your time, a time to let go of the day, unwind, and allow your mind to slow down. With each breath in, invite calm. With each breath out, release the tension. As your body begins to soften into the surface beneath you, imagine a gentle wave of warmth from the crown of your head to the tips of your toes, carrying away the weight of the day. Tonight on Sleep with Rockstars, we will sleep with David Bowie. David Robert Jones, 8 January 1947 through 10 January 2016, known as David Bowie, was an English singer, songwriter, and actor, regarded as among the most influential musicians of the 20th century. Bowie received particular acclaim for his work in the 1970s. His career was marked by reinvention and visual presentation, and his music and stagecraft have had a great impact on popular music. Bowie studied art, music, and design before embarking on a professional music career in 1963. He released a string of unsuccessful singles with local bands and a self-titled solo album in 1967, before achieving his first top 5 entry on the UK singles chart with Space Oddity in 1969. After a period of experimentation, he re-emerged in 1972 during the glam rock era with the alter ego Ziggy Stardust. The single Starman and its album The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, 1972, won him widespread popularity. In 1975, Bowie's style shifted towards a sound he characterized as plastic soul, initially alienating many of his UK fans, but garnering his first major US crossover success with the number one single Fame and the album Young Americans, 1975. In 1976, Bowie starred in the cult film The Man Who Fell to Earth and released Station to Station. In 1977, he again changed direction with the electronic inflected album Low, the first of 3 collaborations with Brian Eno that came to be known as the Berlin Trilogy. Heroes, 1977, and Lodger, 1979, followed. Each album reached the UK top five and received critical praise. After uneven commercial success in the late 1970s, Bowie had three number one hits: the 1980 single Ashes to Ashes, its album Scary Monsters and Super Creeps, and Under Pressure, a 1981 collaboration with Queen. He achieved his greatest commercial success in the 1980s with Let's Dance, 1983. Between 1988 and 1992, he fronted the hard rock band Tin Machine. Throughout the 1990s and 2000s, Bowie continued to experiment with musical styles, including industrial and jungle. He also continued acting. His films included Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, 1983, Labyrinth, 1986, Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me, 1992, Basquiat, 1996, and The Prestige, 2006. He retired from touring in 2004, and his last live performance was at a charity event in 2006. He returned from a decade-long recording hiatus in 2013 with The Next Day and remained musically active until his death in 2016, 2 days after the release of his final studio album, Black Star. During his lifetime, his record sales, estimated at over 100 million worldwide, made him one of the best-selling musicians of all time. He is the recipient of numerous accolades, including 6 Grammy Awards and 4 Brit Awards. Often dubbed the Chameleon of Rock due to his continual musical reinventions, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996. Rolling Stone ranked him among the greatest singers, songwriters, and artists of all time. As of 2022, Bowie was the best-selling vinyl artist of the 21st century. Early life. David Robert Jones was born on 8 January 1947 in Brixton, London. His mother, Margaret Mary Peggy née Burns, was born at Shorncliffe Army Camp near Cheriton, Kent. She worked as a waitress at a cinema in Royal Tunbridge Wells. His father, Heywood Stinton, John Jones, was from Doncaster, Yorkshire, and worked as a promotions officer for the children's charity Bernardo's. The family lived at 40 Stansfield Road on the boundary between Brixton and Stockwell in the South London borough of Lambeth. Bowie attended Stockwell Infant School until he was 6, acquiring a reputation as a gifted and single-minded child and a defiant brawler. From 1953, Bowie moved with his family to Bickley in the Bromley Common, before settling in Sundridge Park in 1955, where he attended Burton Ash Junior School. His voice was considered adequate by the school choir, and he demonstrated above-average ability on the recorder. At the age of 9, his dancing was strikingly imaginative. Teachers called his interpretations vividly artistic and his poise astonishing for a child. The same year, his interest in music was further stimulated when his father brought home a collection of American 45s by artists including The Teenagers, The Platters, Fats Domino, Elvis Presley, and Little Richard. Upon listening to Little Richard's song, Tutti Frutti, Bowie later said that he had heard God. Bowie was first impressed with Presley when he saw his cousin Christina dance to Hound Dog soon after its release in 1956. According to Christina, she and David danced like possessed elves to records of various artists. By the end of the following year, Bowie had taken up the ukulele and teach jazz bass, begun to participate in skiffle sessions with friends, and had started to play the piano. His stage presentation of numbers by both Presley and Chuck Berry, complete with gyrations in tribute to the original artists, to his local Wolf Club group was described as mesmerizing, like someone from another planet. Having encouraged his son to follow his dreams of being an entertainer since he was a toddler, in the late 1950s, David's father took him to meet singers and other performers preparing for the Royal Variety performance introducing him to Alma Cogan and Tommy Steele. After taking his 11-plus exam, Bowie went to Bromley Technical High School. It was an unusual technical school, as biographer Christopher Sanford wrote. Despite its status, it was, by the time David arrived in 1958, as rich in arcane ritual as any English public school. There were houses named after 18th-century statesmen like Pitt and Wilberforce. There was a uniform and an elaborate system of rewards and punishments. There was also an accent on languages. Science, and particularly design, where a collegiate atmosphere flourished under the tutorship of Owen Frampton. In David's account, Frampton led through force of personality, not intellect. His colleagues at Bromley Tech were famous for neither and yielded the school's most gifted pupils to the arts. A regime so liberal that Frampton actively encouraged his own son, Peter, to pursue a musical career with David, a partnership briefly intact 30 years later. Bowie's maternal half-brother, Terry Burns, was a substantial influence on his early life. Burns, who was 10 years older than him, had schizophrenia and seizures and lived alternately at home and in psychiatric wards. While living with Bowie, he introduced the younger man to many of his lifelong influences, such as modern jazz, Buddhism, beat poetry, and the occult. In addition to Burns, a significant proportion of Bowie's extended family members had schizophrenia spectrum disorders, including an aunt who was institutionalized and another who underwent a lobotomy. This has been labeled as an influence on his early work. Bowie studied art, music, and design. After Burns introduced him to modern jazz, his enthusiasm for players like Charles Mingus and John Coltrane led his mother to give him a Grafton saxophone in 1961. He was soon receiving lessons from baritone saxophonist Ronnie Ross. He received a serious injury at school in 1962 when his friend George Underwood punched him in the left eye during a fight over a girl. After a series of operations during a 4-month hospitalization, the damage could not be fully repaired, and Bowie was left with faulty depth perception and anisocoria, a permanently dilated pupil. His eye later became one of Bowie's most recognizable features. Despite their altercation, Bowie remained on good terms with Underwood, who went on to create the artwork for Bowie's early albums. In 1961, he met Peter Frampton, who was 3 years younger. They were schoolmates at Bromley Technical School, where Frampton's father, Owen, was their art teacher. Frampton's band, the Little Ravens, played on the same bill at school as Bowie's band, George and the Dragons. Peter and David would spend lunch breaks together, playing Buddy Holly songs. Music career, 1962 through 1967. Early career to debut album. Bowie formed his first band, the Conrads, in 1962 at the age of 15. Playing guitar-based rock and roll at local youth gatherings and weddings, the Conrads had a varying lineup of between 4 and 8 members, Underwood among them. When Bowie left the technical school the following year, he informed his parents of his intention to become a pop star. His mother arranged his employment as an electrician's mate. Frustrated by his bandmates' limited aspirations, Bowie left the Conrads and joined another band, the King Bees. He wrote to entrepreneur John Bloom, inviting him to do for us what Brian Epstein has done for the Beatles and make another million. Bloom did not respond to the offer, but his referral to Dick James' partner Leslie Kahn led to Bowie's first personal management contract. Kahn quickly began to promote Bowie. His debut single, Liza Jane, credited to Davy Jones with the King Bees, was not commercially successful. Dissatisfied with the King Bees and their repertoire of Howlin' Wolf and Willie Dixon covers, Bowie quit the band less than a month later to join the Manish Boys, another blues outfit who incorporated folk and soul. "I used to dream of being their Mick Jagger," he recalled. Their cover of Bobby Bland's "I Pity the Fool" was no more successful than Liza Jane, and Bowie soon moved on again to join the Lower Third, a blues trio strongly influenced by The Who. "You've Got a Habit of Leaving" fared no better, signaling the end of Kahn's contract. Declaring that he would exit the pop music world to study mime at Sadler's Wells, though he nevertheless remained with the lower third. His new manager, Ralph Orton, later instrumental in his transition to solo artist, helped secure him a contract with Pi Records. Publicist Tony Hatch signed Bowie on the basis that he wrote his own songs. Dissatisfied with Davy and Davy Jones, which in the mid-60s invited confusion with Davy Jones of the Monkees, he took on the stage name David Bowie after the 19th century American pioneer James Bowie and the knife he had popularized. His first release under the name was the January 1966 single Can't Help Thinking About Me, recorded with the lower third. It flopped like its predecessors. Bowie departed the lower third after the single's release, partly due to Horton's influence, and released two more singles for Pi, Do Anything You Say and I Dig Everything, both of which featured a new band called The Buzz, before signing with Derham Records. Around this time, Bowie also joined the Riot Squad. Their recordings, which included one of Bowie's original songs and material by the Velvet Underground, went unreleased. Kenneth Pitt, introduced by Horton, took over as Bowie's manager. His April 1967 solo single, The Laughing Gnome, on which speeded up and high-pitched vocals were used to portray the gnome, failed to chart. Released 6 weeks later, his debut album, David Bowie, an amalgam of pop, psychedelia, and music hall, met the same fate. It was his last release for 2 years. In September, Bowie recorded Let Me Sleep Beside You and Karma Man, both rejected by Derham and left unreleased until 1970. The tracks marked the beginning of Bowie's working relationship with producer Tony Visconti, which, with large gaps, lasted for the rest of Bowie's career. 1968 through 1971, Space Oddity, Tianqi Dori. Studying the dramatic arts under Lindsay Kemp, from avant-garde theater and mime to commedia dell'arte, Bowie became immersed in the creation of personae to present to the world. Satirizing life in a British prison, his composition, Over the Wall We Go, became a 1967 single for Oscar. Another Bowie song, Silly Boy Blue, was released by Billy Fury the following year. Playing acoustic guitar, Hermione Farthingale formed a group with Bowie and guitarist John Hutchinson named Feathers. Between September 1968 and early 1969, the trio gave a few concerts combining folk, mercy beat, poetry, and mime. After the breakup with Farthingale, Bowie moved in with Mary Finnegan as her lodger. In February and March 1969, he took a short tour with Mark Bolan's duo, Tyrannosaurus Rex, as third on the bill, performing a mime act. Continuing the divergence from rock and roll and blues begun by his work with Farthingale, Bowie joined forces with Finnegan, Christina Ostrom, and Barry Jackson to run a folk club on Sunday nights at the Three Tons Pub in Beckenham High Street. The club was influenced by the Arts Lab movement, developing into the Beckenham Arts Lab, and became extremely popular. The Arts Lab hosted a free festival in a local park, the subject of his song, Memory of a Free Festival. Pitt attempted to introduce Bowie to a larger audience with the Love You Till Tuesday film, which went unreleased until 1984. Feeling alienated over his unsuccessful career and deeply affected by his breakup, Bowie wrote Space Oddity, a tale of a fictional astronaut named Major Tom. The song earned him a contract with Mercury Records and its UK subsidiary Philips, who issued Space Oddity as a single on 11 July 1969, 5 days ahead of the Apollo 11 launch. Reaching the top five in the UK, it was his first and last hit for 3 years. Bowie's second album followed in November. Originally issued in the UK as David Bowie, it caused some confusion with its predecessor of the same name, and the US release was instead titled Man of Words, Man of Music. It was reissued internationally in 1972 by RCA Records as Space Oddity, featuring philosophical post-hippie lyrics on peace, love, and morality, its acoustic folk rock occasionally fortified by harder rock. The album was not a commercial success at the time. Bowie met Angela Barnett in April 1969. They married within a year. Her impact on him was immediate. He wrote his 1970 single, The Prettiest Star, for her. And her involvement in his career was far-reaching, leaving Pitt with limited influence, which he found frustrating. Having established himself as a solo artist with Space Oddity, Bowie desired a full-time band he could record with and could relate to personally. The band Bowie assembled comprised John Cambridge, a drummer Bowie met at the Arts Lab, Visconti on bass, and Mick Ronson on electric guitar. Known as Hype, the bandmates created characters for themselves and wore elaborate costumes that prefigured the glam style of the Spiders from Mars. After a disastrous opening gig at the London Roundhouse, they reverted to a configuration presenting Bowie as a solo artist. Their initial studio work was marred by a heated disagreement between Bowie and Cambridge over the latter's drumming style, leading to his replacement by Mick Woodmansey. Not long after, Bowie fired his manager and replaced him with Tony DeFries. This resulted in years of litigation that concluded with Bowie having to pay Pitt compensation. The studio sessions continued and resulted in Bowie's third album, The Man Who Sold the World, 1970, which contained references to schizophrenia, paranoia, and delusion. It represented a departure from the acoustic guitar and folk rock style established by his second album to a more hard rock sound. Mercury financed a coast-to-coast publicity tour across the U.S. in which Bowie, between January and February 1971, was interviewed by the media, exploiting his androgynous appearance. The original cover of the UK version unveiled 2 months later depicted Bowie wearing a dress. He took the dress with him and wore it during interviews to the approval of critics, including Rolling Stone's John Mendelsohn, who described him as ravishing, almost disconcertingly reminiscent of Lauren Bacall. During the tour, Bowie's observation of two seminal American proto-punk artists led him to develop a concept that eventually found form in the Ziggy Stardust character, a melding of the persona of Iggy Pop with the music of Lou Reed, producing the ultimate pop idol. Bowie later stated, "It's not who does it first, it's who does it second." A girlfriend recalled his scrawling notes on a cocktail napkin about a crazy rock star named Iggy or Ziggy. And on his return to England, he declared his intention to create a character who looks like he's landed from Mars. The Stardust surname was a tribute to the legendary Stardust Cowboy, whose record he was given during the tour. Bowie later covered "I Took a Trip on a Gemini Spaceship" on 2002's Heathen. Hunky Dory, 1971, found Visconti supplanted in both roles by Ken Scott producing and Trevor Boulder on bass. It again featured a stylistic shift towards art pop and melodic pop rock, with light fair tracks such as Kooks, a song written for his son, Duncan Zoe Haywood Jones, born on 30 May. Elsewhere, the album explored more serious subjects and found Bowie paying unusually direct homage to his influences with song for Bob Dylan, Andy Warhol, and Queen Bitch, the latter a Velvet Underground pastiche. His first release through RCA, it was a commercial failure, partly due to lack of promotion from the label. Peter Nooney of Herman's Hermits covered the album's track "Oh You Pretty Things," which reached number 12 in the UK. 1972 to 1974, glam rock era. Dressed in a striking costume, his hair dyed reddish-brown, Bowie launched his Ziggy Stardust stage show with the Spiders from Mars, Ronson, Boulder, and Woodmansey at the Toby Jug Pub in Tolworth in Kingston-upon-Thames on 10 February 1972. The show was hugely popular, catapulting him to stardom as he toured the UK over the next 6 months and creating, as described by David Buckley, a cult of Bowie that was unique. Its influence lasted longer and has been more creative than perhaps almost any other force within pop fandom. The rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, 1972, combining the hard rock elements of The Man Who Sold the World with the lighter experimental rock and pop of Hunky Dory, was released in June and was considered one of the defining albums of glam rock. Starman, issued as an April single ahead of the album, was to cement Bowie's UK breakthrough, both single and album charted rapidly following his July Top of the Pops performance of the song. The album, which remained in the chart for 2 years, was soon joined there by the six-month-old Hunky Dory. At the same time, the non-album single John I'm Only Dancing and All the Young Dudes, a song he wrote and produced for Mott the Hoople, were successful in the UK. The Ziggy Stardust tour continued to the United States. Bowie contributed backing vocals, keyboards, and guitar to Reed's 1972 solo breakthrough, Transformer, co-producing the album with Ronson. The following year, Bowie co-produced and mixed the Stooges' album Raw Power alongside Iggy Pop. His own Aladdin Sane, 1973, was his first UK number one album. Described by Bowie as Ziggy Goes to America, it contained songs he wrote while traveling to and across the U.S. during the earlier part of the Ziggy tour, which now continued to Japan to promote the new album. Aladdin Sane spawned the UK top five singles, The Gene Genie and Drive-In Saturday. Bowie's love of acting led to his total immersion in the characters he created for his music. Offstage, I'm a robot. On stage, I achieve emotion. It's probably why I prefer dressing up as Ziggy to being David. With satisfaction came severe personal difficulties. Acting the same role over an extended period, it became impossible for him to separate Ziggy Stardust, and later, the Thin White Duke, from his own character offstage. Ziggy, Bowie said, wouldn't leave me alone for years. That was when it all started to go sour. My whole personality was affected. It became very dangerous. I really did have doubts about my sanity. His later Ziggy shows, which included songs from both Ziggy Stardust and Aladdin Sane, were ultra-theatrical affairs filled with shocking stage moments, such as Bowie stripping down to a sumo wrestling loincloth or simulating oral sex with Ronson's guitar. Bowie toured and gave press conferences as Ziggy before a dramatic and abrupt onstage retirement at London's Hammersmith Odeon on 3 July 1973. Footage from the final show was incorporated for the film Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, which premiered in 1979 and commercially released in 1983. After breaking up the Spiders, Bowie attempted to move on from his Ziggy persona. His back catalog was now highly sought after. The Man Who Sold the World had been re-released in 1972, along with Space Oddity. Hunky Dory's Life on Mars was released in June 1973 and peaked at number 3 on the UK singles chart. Entering the same chart in September, his 1967 novelty record, The Laughing Gnome, reached number 6. Pinups, a collection of covers of his 1960s favorites, followed in October, producing a UK number 3 hit in his version of the McCoys, Sorrow, and itself peaking at number 1, making Bowie the best-selling act of 1973 in the UK. It brought the total number of Bowie albums concurrently on the UK chart to 6. 1974 to 1976, Plastic Soul and the Thin White Duke. Bowie moved to the U.S. in 1974, initially staying in New York City before settling in Los Angeles. Diamond Dogs, 1974, parts of which found him heading towards soul and funk, was the product of two distinct ideas. A musical based on a wild future in a post-apocalyptic city, and setting George Orwell's 1984 to music. The album went to number 1 in the U.K., spawning the hits Rebel Rebel and Diamond Dogs, and number 5 in the U.S. The supporting Diamond Dogs tour visited cities in North America between June and December 1974. Choreographed by Tony Basil and lavishly produced with theatrical special effects, the high-budget stage production was filmed by Alan Yentob. Resulting documentary, Cracked Actor, featured a pasty and emaciated Bowie. The tour coincided with his slide from heavy cocaine use into addiction, producing severe physical debilitation, paranoia, and emotional problems. He later commented that the accompanying live album, David Live, ought to have been titled, David Bowie is Alive and Well and Living Only in Theory. David Live nevertheless solidified Bowie's status as a superstar, charting at number 2 in the UK and number 8 in the US. It also spawned a UK number 10 hit and a cover of Eddie Floyd's Knock on Wood. After a break in Philadelphia, where Bowie recorded new material, the tour resumed with a new emphasis on soul. The fruit of the Philadelphia recording sessions was Young Americans, 1975. Sanford writes, "Over the years, most British rockers had tried one way or another to become black by extension. Few had succeeded as Bowie did now. The album's sound, which Bowie identified as Plastic Soul, constituted a radical shift in style that initially alienated many of his UK devotees. Young Americans was a commercial success in both the US and the UK and yielded Bowie's first US number one, Fame, a collaboration with John Lennon. A reissue of the 1969 single Space Oddity became Bowie's first number one hit in the UK, a few months after Fame achieved the same in the US. He mimed Fame in his November single, Golden Years, on the US variety show Soul Train, earning him the distinction of being one of the first white artists to appear on the program. The same year, Bowie fired DeFreeze as his manager. At the culmination of the ensuing months-long legal dispute, he watched, as described by Sanford, millions of dollars of his future earnings being surrendered in what were uniquely generous terms for DeFreeze, then shut himself up in West 20th Street, where for a week his howls could be heard through the locked attic door. Michael Lippman, Bowie's lawyer during the negotiations, became his new manager, but was fired the following year. Station to Station, 1976, produced by Bowie and Harry Maslin, introduced a new Bowie persona, the Thin White Duke of its title track. Visually, the character was an extension of Thomas Jerome Newton, the extraterrestrial he portrayed in the film The Man Who Fell to Earth the same year. Developing the funk and soul of Young Americans, Station to Station's synthesizer-heavy arrangements were influenced by electronic and German krautrock. Bowie's cocaine addiction during this period was at its peak. He often did not sleep for 3 to 4 days at a time during Station to Station's recording sessions, and later said he remembered only flashes of its making. His sanity, by his own later admission, had become twisted from cocaine. He referenced the drug directly in the album's 10-minute title track. The album's release was followed by a 3.5-month-long concert tour, the Isolar Tour of Europe and North America. Core band that coalesced to record the album and tour, rhythm guitarist Carlos Alomar, bassist George Murray, and drummer Dennis Davis, continued as a stable unit for the remainder of the 1970s. Bowie performed on stage as the Thin White Duke. The tour was highly successful, but mired in political controversy. Bowie was quoted as saying that Britain could benefit from a fascist leader, and was detained by customs on the Russian-Polish border for possessing Nazi paraphernalia. Matters came to a head in London in May in what became known as the Victoria Station Incident. Arriving in an open-top Mercedes convertible, Bowie waved to the crowd in a gesture that some alleged was a Nazi salute, which was captured on camera and published in NME. Bowie said the photographer caught him in mid-wave. He later blamed his pro-fascism comments and his behavior during the period on his cocaine addiction, the character of the Thin White Duke, and his life in Los Angeles, a city he later said should be wiped off the face of the earth. He later apologized for these statements, and throughout the 80s and 90s criticized racism in European politics and the American music industry. Nevertheless, his comments on fascism, as well as Eric Clapton's alcohol-fueled denunciations of Pakistani immigrants in 1976, led to the establishment of Rock Against Racism. 1976 through 1979, Berlin era. In August 1976, Bowie moved to West Berlin with his old friend Iggy Pop to rid themselves of their drug addictions and escape the spotlight. Bowie's interest in German krautrock and the ambient works of multi-instrumentalist Brian Eno culminated in the first of three albums, co-produced with Visconti, that became known as the Berlin Trilogy. The album Low, 1977, was recorded in France and took influence from krautrock and experimental music, and featured both short song fragments and ambient instrumentals. Before its recording, Bowie produced Iggy Pop's debut solo album, The Idiot, described by Fag as a stepping stone between station to station, and Low. Low was completed in November, but left unreleased for 3 months. RCA did not see the album as commercially viable and was expecting another success following Young Americans and Station to Station. Bowie's former manager, Tony DeFries, who maintained a significant financial interest in Bowie's affairs, had tried to prevent the album from being released. Upon its release in January 1977, Low yielded the UK number 3 single, Sound and Vision, and its own performance surpassed that of Station to Station in the UK, where it reached number 2. Bowie himself did not promote it, instead touring with Pop as his keyboardist throughout March and April, before recording Pop's follow-up, Lust for Life. This episode was recorded July 9, 2025, about the artist David Bowie, from the source on Wikipedia at en.wikipedia.org/wiki/David_Bowie.